in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She
what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a good old-fashioned word off. It's a term off. Term, word. Because we got one side saying one thing and we got one side saying another. Let me explain. Yesterday, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, posted a tweet about Jordan Love. The tweet that he posted, it was like a drive-by. It was like a, you know, he set the wheels down and then took right back off again. The tweet from Dan Orlovsky said this: anyone who says Jordan Love regressed last year doesn't look at quarterback play properly. Thanks, have an awesome day. I trust Dan Orlovsky's quarterback breakdowns. I trust his analysis.
I think he's a douche.
And then there's that.
In defense of Jason. I'm aligned with Jason. How's that?
All right.
Got your guys back. I
appreciate
that.
Hashtag Team Jason.
So when I say we have a word off, we have a term off, we got one camp who is trying to defend what I believe to be a straw man, which is this group, this population that says that Jordan Love regressed from 2024 to 2025. The reality is, Gabe, Jordan Love was injured in 2025. Jordan Love was not injured in 2024. In 2024, Jordan Love played his best football for a sizable stretch. We keep going back to those eight games, and the numbers back that up, right? We thought, whoa, this guy, sky's the limit. But then he didn't play that well in 2025. Now, I suppose in some dictionary world, you can sit there and go, he regressed. I genuinely don't believe...
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
You're not first or last.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
I genuinely believe that's not the argument. I don't think that people are out here clamoring and banging the drum saying, Jordan Love regressed. Jordan Love regressed. What I do think people are saying, Dan Orlovsky et al., Matt LaFleur, is he didn't get better. And are we smart enough people, are we smart enough fans, Mark Chmura, that we can distinguish between Jordan Love regressed and let's, you know, be the boogeyman and let's fight that argument, and Jordan Love didn't get better from that stretch we saw him in 2024 to the season in 2025?
Yeah, trust your eyes. Trust your eyes and then go to the numbers. And the numbers back it up, you know. But when it comes to Orlovsky, I want to hear it from Steve Young or Troy Aikman. I'm sorry. I just do. Okay? I've had coaches like this that are just like, players will always revert to coaches or analysts who walk the walk. Okay, and I don't want to disparage, but I mean, this is, it's just a douchebag comment. Wouldn't you agree? I'm smarter than everyone. Have a nice day. Trust my eyes, not yours.
It's film arrogance, Chu.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
That's the 41st entry into, you know, the arrogance
list. We don't know as good as the film grinders. They're watching football the right way. We are simply looking at stats and basing it on our feelings.
I mean, I guarantee his biggest point, well, the drops. Well, every team has drops. Some have more than others. But like I said, that's not going to move the needle 9 points when it comes to
passer rating
completion
or
percentage. Yeah.
Right? Okay, completion percentage, got it.
It's not going to move it, you know? Red zone, I don't know what the breakdown is, but my guess is the year before, they were better in the red zone. Interceptions, my guess is 2 years ago, which we know, he didn't throw interceptions. So it's just such a condescending statement by him. I don't like him. And you know what? If he was right in front of my face, I would tell him I don't like him. Okay?
I don't know if anyone's ever disputed the fact that you would tell somebody something right to their face.
Breaking news here.
I think I've always been very confident that you will always say something right to someone's face.
Oh, you know what? The only reason you think that, Josh, is because you were not in a meeting with us a few years ago, okay?
Josh,
had you been in that meeting, you change your tune real quick.
No, I'm just trying to push him to do it someday whenever he gets the opportunity.
You don't really need to push him. Like, go like this. Okay. Yeah. Just, give him a
See, the thing is, I would say, "Hey, Josh, I'm back on Monday," but Josh don't care.
No,
he knows I'm kind of a blowhard, right?
He knows you can't actually intimidate Josh the way you intimidate part-time Will.
Yeah. So, I as soon as I read it, I was just like, guys.
Well, that's the one thing I would just wish he would put, like, all right, Dan, tell me why. Like, okay, you're grinding over the film. You put out clips all the time on social media. Instead of just doing the drive-by, give me the reasons why. Show me the backup.
And there are times, I will tell you this, there are times that the media gets it wrong just because they don't know the intricacies of routes and things like that and who progression is. And there are times that, you know, a quarterback throws a pick and the receiver is wrong. Mm-hmm. Just wrong. But I've don't said this really
before.
See it.
I've said this before, Chu. I really enjoy watching JT O'Sullivan. Is that who it is?
Yes.
The guy who does the quarterback school?
Mm-hmm.
Because he will say, now, I don't know what the progression was here, but my guess is, having been under center, having done this before, it was supposed to go this, this, this. If I'm wrong, like, he will disclaim the plays that way, which I really appreciate. He's saying, like, I don't know all the information, but if I had to guess, this is how it was supposed to go, this is what the read was.
The only only person who has all, or the only entity that has all the information is the team that called the play.
Okay, here, I'll give you a quick class on progressions, okay? Progressions always go from top to bottom. They always go top to bottom, but the deep route is typically number one, but he may be out of the loop before the ball's even snapped based upon coverages. So they know where they want to get the ball, but most times where you want to get the ball is to the second guy in progression. And then that changes zone to man. So let's say the third route, the third receiver, the third progression is purely a man beater where you're expecting zone, it's man, then you know to go to number three right away. So progressions, I could tell you what the progressions are, but it's based upon coverage and things like that. Or if the guy's falls down or isn't open.
When it comes to Jordan Love, I think that we as a show need to change the narrative. Because again, I think we get lost in the nuance of, oh, has Jordan Love regressed? The simple question is, did Jordan Love play well enough for this team to accomplish his goals last year?
He did not. And again, we talk all the time about the responsibility, heavy the head that wears the crown, the responsibility of the quarterback position, fair or unfair. But you have to elevate your team. That is a standard that is number one with a bullet, the responsibility of the quarterback. And if you look again with the eyeballs, Jordan didn't do that. And so that's where I get frustrated with. We're not saying Jordan Love regressed. Jordan Love regressed. We're saying he didn't get better and he didn't put the team on his back in those critical moments, whether it's moving the chains, whether it's getting a win. He wasn't the guy that was able to get it done. And that, to me, is the most important metric. You can throw out all these other things, completion percentage, third down, red zone, all of them. And I'm sitting there going, when their backs were against the wall, when the going got tough, or whatever cliche you want to throw out there, did Jordan Love do enough, Gabe, to get them over the hump, to get them across the finish line?
No, and he needs to be better. I mean, I've been saying that all offseason. If the Packers want to get to where they go, he's got to be better. And that's not to say he's been bad. He just needs to be better. You need to have somebody who's looked at as a top-flight quarterback in this league. And if you put Jordan in the top 10, I'm assuming you're putting him in the back part of that top 10. Like, he's not knocking on the door of the top five. And he needs to be, I mean, Chewy, you point this out, especially with the contract. He needs to be knocking on the door of top five, be in that conversation in order for this team to go where they need to go, because that's how important quarterback play is. Well, again, whether that's fair or unfair, that's just the reality of the situation. Quarterback play is that important in the NFL.
All people need to look at last year, all people need to look at is if Jaden Daniels has an average year, they're not close to the playoffs. In the rankings at the beginning of the season last year had them as like the 30th most talented team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a quarterback can do for you. That's when a quarterback is playing outside of his mind. That's what Jordan Love did 2 years ago in the last 8 games of the year. Right? We're not saying he's terrible. We're not saying he's bad. We're just saying, hey, we know it's in there. It's in there somewhere. And he didn't bring it out last year.
Completely agree with you, Chu. I think that is a great way of putting it, because we have seen flashes of brilliance, right? And if nothing else, a cumulative chunk, right? Because you can sit there and go, oh, random, oh, here and there. No, a chunk of brilliance, a chunk of greatness. So again, the idea is not this necessarily that he took a step back, but he didn't take the requisite step forward. And I know growth is not linear. It doesn't always go in the upward trajectory towards the goal. But in this instance, we have a season's worth. Yes, he was injured. Yes, there were drops. There were issues, right? We talk about Jaden Reed having trouble against man. Like, there's all sorts of thing with the complementary pieces. But the other thing I will continue saying is you're not doing Jordan Love any favors by couching the reality. You're not, like, I don't know if Dan thinks he's helping Matt LaFleur out by supporting his position that he had last week, or if Matt LaFleur thinks he's helping his quarterback out by picking him up. But there needs to be some honesty about taking that next step and how important and required it is. I want to get to Chris Canty, who was talking about this on Unsportsmanlike this morning, because, of course, Dan puts the tweet out, so now people are going, well, wait a minute. Did we misinterpret? Did we misread this situation? Here's what Chris Canty and the Unsportsmanlike crew had to say this morning about Jordan Love.
I can't give him a pass on the inconsistency due to the injury in 2024 because of what I saw in 2023. It's an uncomfortable fact pattern for Jordan Love. Last year, he had 6 games with a passer rating below 90. Same thing the year before that in 2023. For context, league average when it comes to passer rating was 94 in 2024. There were 21 quarterbacks last season that averaged a passer rating north of 90. It's too inconsistent. Jordan Love doesn't show up for a third of the season, and that's across 2 years. When I'm paying a guy $55 million a year, that is problematic. He is set up for success. He's got the head coach. He's got the offensive line in front of him. The Green Bay Packers went out and spent a bunch of money on Josh Jacobs last year in the offseason, which is counter on a couple of different fronts for them, right? Number one, the Packers typically don't spend a lot of money in free agency, so there's that. But then also, NFL teams don't spend big when it comes to running backs, period. The Green Bay Packers bucked that trend because they got a quarterback that they believed in.
Chu, do you agree with Canty?
That was very good. But I would also, I don't know if it's blame, but I think, like, and we said it a bunch, I think LaFleur kind of had to figure this out because he thought it would be easier sledding than it actually was when it came to the passing game. And then the running became so good that he kind of pivoted away. So I think he should be better this year because he should have figured it out. Like, all right, our running game is great. We invested in the offensive line. Hopefully these guys show up and all play. I need to marry the two together better, the run game and the pass game. So I think from that standpoint, it'll be better. I think LaFleur went through a little struggle there early on in the season because he thought the passing game would be much better.
We got to get to Jason Wilde, Chu, and I think that I want to wrap this conversation, and I'm sure we'll bring it up with Jason, by saying this. No one on this show, no one on this network is saying Jordan Love is ass. What we're saying is, in order to be a top flight team in the NFC, the quarterback has to play better. He needs to continue growing. He needs to continue evolving. So this narrative of saying Jordan Love regressed last season, we understand all of the variables that were associated with Jordan Love's success last year. We also think time to click it up a notch. Time to show everybody what we saw the previous season for those final eight games. We'll get to Jason Wilde right after this.
Here's your chance to try an all-new pizza. And honestly, this is one of my favorite things about Palermo's, is they're willing to try so many different things. Ragu frozen pizzas are now available at Sendix, and they're on sale. 2 for $9 for a limited time through today. Try them all. Cheese, combination, pepperoni, and supreme. Enjoy these pizzeria-inspired crusts topped with Ragu-inspired sauces and your favorite family-pleasing toppings. It's Italian heritage and a convenient family favorite food at an affordable price. Try the new Ragu frozen pizzas through today, 2 for $9 at your local Sendix.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, it's days like this that I am particularly excited to get some insight from Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're good. We were just discussing the Dan Orlovsky tweet, which was, in my opinion, this is my opinion. I want to make sure that I'm not attaching anyone else to it. I love that the chuckle. I feel like he is fighting a straw man. This word regressed has been thrown out there, and it's very, like, salacious, and people are like, regressed, Jordan Love regressed. But I don't think that we have been arguing that. I think we've been saying Jordan Love did not get better. Jordan Love was not a better version of himself last season than the version we saw of him at the end of the previous season. I think that has been the crux of it. And as the quarterback, he is responsible for, at least on some level, helping the team evolve as a whole. And so I get it. I said at the beginning of the show, we're in a bit of a word off here. We're in a bit of a term off, but I feel very strongly about the nuance here.
Yeah, I just think he was being kind of a jerk about how he handled this topic. You can straw man, semantics. I don't appreciate, I mean, you can have your opinion. I don't really appreciate you telling anyone who doesn't have the same opinion that we're stupid by comparison. Couple things. First of all, I saw this and I was going to text you guys because I knew I'd be on today. Can one of you start, since I still have fear of having the wrong number for Chewy in my phone, could one of you start a group? Wilde plus JGC with the four of us on there, so, or five of us, include Josh.
I'm on it.
Yeah, okay,
so
Josh, you got it?
With you guys?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
7370089. That's not it. That was my old Primeco number. Remember Primeco, Jason?
No, what is Primeco?
Primeco was a phone carrier.
Yeah.
Jason, did you know this, though?
You don't
that
have...
everyone's number was attached at a 00. George Koontz was 0053.
Because he wore
Robert
53.
0087. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell the Packers how to do things back in 1996 or whatever it is, but it sure as hell made it easy to send you guys, to call you guys. I don't even know if we had text messaging. I think you had to put... Like, you had to push the number one, like, four times to get to the capital A and stuff. But, yes, that was great. It was great for those of us trying to contact you. Unfortunately, the only one that did not hold was 737-0004. So I was not able to text. And then again, maybe I didn't want him texting me back either. Back to
chuckle,
Dan Orlovsky.
Chuckle.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the courtesy laugh there. So, look, Jordan Love, was anybody playing quarterback in the entire NFL better than Jordan Love during the final eight regular season games and that playoff game against Dallas when he was exquisite? Was anybody playing quarterback better than him down the stretch in 2023? No. No, right? Not even Patrick Mahomes, who went on to win the Super Bowl. He wasn't playing very well at all, frankly, down the stretch. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. and then we get to this yesterday, and, you know, I did feel a little bit seen because I had people in the YouTube comments of our show texting or messaging in what Orlovsky had tweeted, and then somebody sent me the tweet, and I was like, God, he and I don't really like each other. I can't believe he's listening to our show, which I don't think he was. But you're 1,000% right, Jennifer. Like, however you want to describe it, this is what bothers me about this. And I understand it's the silly season where, you know, I try to get through this period of the off season by telling stories that I might not tell otherwise. Like the Marshawn Lloyd story about where he's at. And, of course, I write this glowing thing about how excited they are. And then I show up to the OTA last week and he's in the rehab group, not even practicing. But like today I wrote about Edgerrin Cooper and how he has added weight, but the coaches still think he's just as explosive as he was last year. And they're really excited about him, right? Because those are the kinds of off season stories that I believe in. I don't want to play these semantics games. I don't want to debate whether Jordan Love regressed or didn't advance or however you want to view it. He wasn't good enough last year. And you know who would tell you that? Jordan Love would tell you that. And you can blame the injuries. You can blame the drops. You can say he didn't regress. You can say whatever you want. But the bottom line is they lost their last three games. And over the final four games of last season, as compared to the final nine games of the previous season, he wasn't as good. So whatever prism you want to look at that through, and if you want to tell me that I don't know anything about football and you're the supreme leader of football knowledge, great, that's fine. I have never said that Jordan Love sucks, that he's never going to be a good quarterback. None of those things, those are completely unrelated here. I have consistently, you guys have heard me say this again and again, it is such a pivotal year for him. This is why I took the angle about, you know, Rodgers in year three, because Jordan Love's numbers in his first 2 years as the starter are not dissimilar from Aaron Rodgers' numbers in his first 2 years as the starter. Now, where he goes from here is what matters. So Dan Orlovsky can tell me and many others that we're all just idiots. He can fight over word choices. But whatever the bottom line is for the past 2 years does not matter. Past is prologue here. We will see what he does this season. When the general manager has come out and said it's time for them to start competing for championships, well, you know who has to play very well for you to compete for a championship? Not at a Hall of Fame level, not even at an All-Pro level, but has to play very well? Your quarterback. And it's time for him, and he knows this, to take a jump in his performance. And that's all we're trying to talk about here. So I always talk to the girls about, We don't push other people down to push ourselves up. So spare me your pithy little tweets and instead break down why he didn't regress in your mind. And if you don't have time to do that, then just don't go on Twitter, which is what my approach has been for the past like 5 years now. So here endeth the rant.
Well said, Jason. Jason, who Thanks, is Zach buddy. Tom? Who is Zach Tom competing against?
Himself first and foremost, right? Like if we're being honest, I still, and this is, you know, this is what I find fascinating. So Jordan Love gets a break in some people's minds because of his injuries. And Zach Tom doesn't. I feel like you mentioned this to me last week when I was on.
Yeah.
Like here's a guy who plays with a torn pec, never regains the strength he would have normally had he been able to lift all offseason the way he normally would. And we're talking about him competing for his job. Now, we're going to get six players today. Again, I don't really understand why, just because they've moved to the soccer locker room at Lambeau Field while their locker room is being renovated, why we can't go in there and work the locker room the way we normally did. Good Lord, I had enough trouble trying to get to the tight end in the corner that I still don't understand why your locker was that way. But, like, there's no reason, but I appreciate them bringing players. I'm hoping Zach Tom is one of them because I would really love to know his mentality, right? Because you can't sit and pout. You can't say, oh, they hurt my feelings because they said I'm competing for my job. Like, you know, I'm my harshest critic. I'm sure he's going to say I need to play better. I don't care who I'm competing with. I need to be the best version of me, all those things. But they're all true. And I still think, you know, Jen mentioned straw man. I think he's, in my opinion, battling potentially the invisible man, that they brought up this competition, but there's no clear-cut person that he's competing with. Anthony Belton, their second-round pick, he worked at left tackle with the number two group when they were two-spotting 11-on-11 periods. He worked some guard. I didn't see him at right tackle. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. It's hard to watch two sessions at the same time. But the bottom line is that if Zach Tom's not their starting right tackle, you know, I'm not going to walk to Sheboygan or eat my hat, but I don't think it's very likely. I just don't understand why they put it out there the way they did and what the upside was.
And that's interesting to me, Jason, because yesterday we were talking about the Trey Hendrickson situation in Cincinnati, where they just went, hey, you know, play well next year and we'll take care of it. And then he goes out and leads the league. That number for pass rushers explodes with guys like Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, you know, resetting the market. And then the Bengals going, oh, man, we had no idea that was coming. And the lesson to be learned there is pay your guys early, not late. If Zach Tom in the end is actually going to be their starter, wouldn't it make more sense to try to sign to him to extension now and tamper down what that number could be instead of letting him get to free agency? And then if he's ready to walk, either if you don't want him to, you have to pay him market value or you have to slap the franchise tag on him, which nobody wants.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like Mike Holmgren talking to Dave Benz back in 1996, where he said, Dave, you just asked me three questions and answered two of them yourself. What would you like me to say? But I agree with everything you said. Like, I'm sorry for leading the witness. Well, Jesse's the one who's going to have to deal with that since he's on jury duty today. But yes, I understand. And here's another example of how the quarterback is different, right? Because we're looking at the money that they pay Jordan Love. And no, I don't think, unless I'm missing the discourse on this, no one's saying, oh, my God, they paid this guy $55 million a year. He's got to play better, right? No one. I haven't heard many people, maybe you guys have when I'm not listening, but I haven't heard many people bring the contract number into it because I think we're all looking at it with what Brock Purdy got, with what Trevor Lawrence got, Tua, et cetera, that this is just now the cost of doing business on having a young quarterback who you think could turn out to be really, really good and is sort of good and still has more to prove before you would really feel like, okay, this was money well spent, right? So I just feel like with the influx of money into this league, with the increased TV deals and the gambling money and everything else, that the rising tide has lifted all the high-profile boats in terms of cost. But I would also argue potentially that this is just Cincinnati being Cincinnati, right? I mean, this is their reputation. Like, yeah, we'll take care of you, and oh my gosh, that's too much now. We don't want to pay you that. That feels very Bengals-y to me, and I'm not sure that other teams would not have handled it a very different way.
Jason, before we let you go, NFL.com has put out a list of the NFL's top 10 most complete teams for the 2025 season. This is another metric. This is an algorithm that weights each of the positions differently. We're going to talk about it as a show, but I'm curious what your first thought is when I tell you that the Green Bay Packers are ranked on this list 8th. Most complete team for 2025. And just for perspective, they are behind the Vikings, which are ranked 6th with J.J. McCarthy, a virtual unknown at the most important position.
And where are the Lions?
Ooh, I think they're up at 2. I scrolled past them. They're 3.
Okay. Because
who just lost their center.
Yeah, to retirement. Yeah, you're right. I look, a couple things. One, I think they're going to be a good team. I also think they got a hell of a difficult schedule, and they're going to make the playoffs and not win the division, and they're going to be around 10-7. Now, sometimes I'm right about my predictions, and then sometimes, like in 2023, when I picked them to win 6 games and they won 9 and then went and won a playoff, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Dan Orlovsky can say that about me too if he wants. But the bottom line is that I think they're going to be a good football team. But it's going to be one of those years, and I'm not saying it's wake me in January, because I love the journey, but we're really going to find out based on what the heck they do in the postseason. Now, I know there's been some folks that have predicted they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't agree, but it'll be interesting to see, because I do think if you look up and down their roster, if, and this is obviously an enormous if that I wasn't saying about the 1996 team going into the season, largely because I wasn't covering the team yet. I was covering Badger volleyball and Wisconsin soccer and preps. But if those third and fourth year guys play at the level that we have seen flashes or shortly extended periods of them playing at, if their quarterback plays not like he did during the second half of 2023, but closer to that than what he played at last year, I think they have a very complete team. I think they've got a bunch of talent on defense, and if DeMarcus Covington can figure out a way to make Rashawn Gary and LVN and Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark get after the quarterback more effectively, then I think they're going to be even better than they were last year. So I think they have a really good team on their hands that is going to lose some games against some really good teams, but they're going to make the playoffs, and then it'll be a crapshoot on where they go from there. Now, I would also add that there have been teams during my career that I looked at and said, these guys are really damn good. And then they just got devastated by injuries. I think back to 02, when Tausch tore his ACL, Clifton got that cheap shot from Warren Sapp. They lost Robert Ferguson and Darren Sharper late in the year. They were going to New York to play the Jets with Wynn, and they're the number one seed. And they got blown out at the Meadowlands because they were barely, like, they limped into and out of the Meadowlands. And then they lost at home to Michael Vick, if you remember. First time the Packers had lost a home playoff game at Lambeau Field. That team, after what they had done in 2001, had a chance to be really, really good, and they just got devastated by injuries. If that doesn't happen to this team, I feel really, really good about what I'm saying about them.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Joshy, I'm working on the picture and the group name for my text. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you all.
You got it, dude.
Take care. Be good.
You call him Dan?
Dude.
Oh, I thought you called Dan. I was like, of all the nicknames to throw his way. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after this very program on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will break down that list, the NFL.com top 10 most complete teams for 2025. Packers are ranked 8th. What do you think? We'll talk about that right after this.
You don't need a private party or fancy credentials to play golf inside of American Family Field, because X-Golf is open to the public every Brewers home game. That's right. Whether you're a walk-up or you plan ahead, you can tee it off in a high-tech golf simulator with a perfect view of the field. That's really cool. I mean, if you haven't been up there, the way they've got that tiered so you've got great views, and they have a special menu up there, fantastic bar that you can walk up to. Each seat is table service. The vibes are immaculate. Food, drinks, big swings, all without missing a pitch. So book your next game day around X-Golf inside of American Family Field, open to the public 7 days a week.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for a home can be a lot of things. Stressful, time-consuming, expensive. But looking for a home should be an exciting chapter in your life. And the We Sell group at Keller Williams knows this and wants to make sure it happens for you. Their passion is people, and they are knowledgeable, approachable, and have unprecedented availability. Maybe you're looking for a home, or maybe you're navigating the selling process. That can always be tricky as well. Rob and Nick will help every step of the way. The We Sell Group's selling process makes sure that the best and most competitive offers always are made on your home. So get started on a stress-free journey today. The WeSell.KW.com group. That's WeSell.KW.com. Want to get into this list that we just talked about on NFL.com. So just to be clear, look, there's no exact metric. And to be honest with you, the author of this article, Eric Edelm, basically says that there's no perfect way to rank the best rosters headed into the season. But you can grade each of the position groups, and then you can weigh those position groups based on the impact that they have on the team's success. And you can kind of sort of put an algorithm together that gives you some information. And that's what this gentleman, Eric, has done. Number one, not a shock, Chew, is the Philadelphia Eagles. We all saw that complete roster last season, and then, of course, the additions that they made in the offseason. It feels like they deserve the top spot. After that, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Then we talked about the Lions, which, again, feel like a complete team, albeit losing Frank Ragnow yesterday, who announced his retirement, their center. Kansas City Chiefs are 4. Buffalo Bills are 5. The Vikings, this is where it kills me, man. Absolutely kills me. Vikings are 6. It kills me because J.J. McCarthy is a virtual unknown in the league at the most important position. And according to this guy, he ranks them. He ranks each position, saying they're weighted, if you will. Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then your Green Bay Packers. Chew, is there a way that this completeness equals success, or is it an unreliable metric to you?
Well, I just pulled up teams with the most Pro Bowl players in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers had one, or they have three. They had three.
I was about to say, they had...
He doesn't. He doesn't.
Wait, who are you not counting?
All the other top... Rashawn Gary. Come on, you're going to count him.
So they had two.
But that's way down on the list compared to the names you've just read off. Do they have solid B players?
It's all solid
B players. The formula to winning a championship is your A players have to play like A players, your B's got to play like B's, and your C's have to play like B's. That's how you win, right? So what do they have?
They've got a lot of B's.
I mean, the Pro Bowl's still a metric. They have three. They have a lot of B's.
Yeah, they got a lot of B players. Like, again, I would argue that the two Pro Bowlers that they, you know, again, I guess the two Pro Bowlers we're counting in this exercise are their two A players, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Yeah. Those are their A players.
Because what
you can convince me into Jair being an A player, again, the caveat being when healthy and if he's going to be on the roster. So you got a couple of things you got to work through there. But after that, like, I don't think you can call anybody else on this team an A player. Can you? I mean, if you want to talk me into Zach Tom or Elgton Jenkins.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, because I was thinking about it when Jason was answering his last question there. It's like, are they not good at development? They claim to be a draft and develop team, but they don't seem to be very good at development. They haven't developed the receivers. Now, they developed Kraft, which is good. Who else have they developed?
I mean, they didn't draft him, but I would...
It seems to be like always, it's like with Edgerrin Cooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we expect him to take a step, just like we expected Quay Walker to take a step. They haven't developed Quay Walker. He had a little better year, but he's certainly not an impact. He's at time an impact player, and at time he just disappears. Same with Devontae Wyatt.
I would argue that they develop offensive line. Because the offensive line hasn't been an issue. It hasn't.
And almost always, those are later round picks.
Yeah. Rasheed Walker's a 7th-round pick.
That sort of outperform their draft spot.
So I would say they develop offensive line, Chew, which is maybe why they're comfortable with, I guess, putting Zach Tom in this competition they've decided to put him in. They didn't draft Keyshawn Nixon, but they have developed him as a corner. Because when he came in, it was like, maybe you'll play, but you're definitely going to return kicks. And he played the slot. Okay, you did that pretty well. They put him outside. Ooh, you're pretty good at the outside. Maybe we can keep you out there too. So I would argue that even though he wasn't a draft guy, they have developed the skills of Keyshawn Nixon. So there are a handful of guys I would say that they have developed. But again,
a part of guys they haven't developed.
Well, and
those are supposed to be your studs.
That's the problem. Like the first round picks haven't developed. Like those guys that need to be those studs, you're missing those A players. We keep coming back to that conversation. You don't have enough studs, so you're kind of counting on some of these guys who are 3rd or 4th round picks who don't have some of the athleticism that you're hoping for, are able to take advantage and develop other skills in other spots.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because the studs thing is what is jamming me on this most complete list. you bring up they have a lot of B players. The Washington Commanders have an A player at the quarterback position in Jaden Daniels. The Washington Commanders are not on this list. Now, I recognize they only went to 10, and there are 14 teams that make the playoffs. But if you can have a playoff team like the Washington Commanders not as a most complete team, and yet they, you know, would theoretically give the Green Bay Packers a more quote-unquote complete team fits, there's a part of me that says, well, this is an unreliable metric. Because if you are that good at that position, doesn't matter how complete your roster is, it can overshadow, it can erase a lot. Like Aaron Rodgers, for example, right? He didn't always have the best roster. He didn't have the most complete roster, but he was a Hall of Fame player at the most important position, and that elevated the team as a whole. Between the Vikings and the Commanders, that's where my issues are here. The Vikings have a big old question mark, giant question mark, at the most important position, Gabe. How in the world is their roster considered more complete when this author says he is weighing the positions by value and significance?
Because, I mean, I'm guessing there's a Kevin O'Connell portion of that, right? Like, well, if Kevin O'Connell can make Sam Darnold play the way Sam Darnold did, okay, J.J. McCarthy, who's a top 10 pick, should be able to find some relative success because that is a pretty complete roster. The biggest question they have is at quarterback. And when it comes to Washington, that when I think of the complete roster, Packers at 8 makes sense because they do have a pretty good roster that was able to survive Jordan Love missing some, in Matt LaFleur's terms, significant time last year because they do have a complete roster and they were able to help elevate their backup quarterback. If Jaden Daniels goes down, Washington is bleeped.
Cooked.
Yeah. They weight this thing when it comes to Minnesota, too, because Minnesota, when it comes to skills positions, are a top five team. They're a top five team.
They might be one. I mean, their skills are so loaded.
You know?
It's outrageous.
And their offensive line is solid. So if J.J. McCarthy can't succeed with this offense, then he should be out of the league.
And he's going to have his ups and downs, so I doubt that they end up winning the same number of games that they do. But because their skills are that good, and Kevin O'Connell has the respect that he does, like that's still going to be a solid team.
Oh, yeah.
But it all comes down to how good is J.J.?
That's a great question, though, that you bring up, is the coaches. I didn't see any mention of coaches, coaching, pedigree, all of those things in the quote-unquote algorithm that this author used to create the most complete NFL teams. I'm going to dig on that a little bit and see if he used the coaches as sort of, you know, to tip the scales one way or another. Because I guess the conversation then is Kevin O'Connell a better coach than Matt LaFleur? Is Kevin O'Connell enough to tip a rookie quarterback with 30 preseason snaps over, again, Green Bay? They're sixth, Green Bay is eighth.
I mean, I'd love to see Matt LaFleur with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I think Justin Jefferson makes a lot of coaches really good.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you want to check out the list, it is on NFL.com. Top 10 most complete teams for 2025. I would just caution again, this is my opinion, I don't think it's a reliable metric because while you can be a complete team, you can have one guy at a very important position who elevates the whole dang thing and gives a team like the Packers fits in the playoffs. We'll take a break. Roll on, Red, for this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you want to play the best golf of your life, you've got to check out the Wisconsin Country Club. So I've been a member. I joined a couple of years ago, and I love all the different things. No assessments, no food, beverage minimums. An awesome golf course that I love to play. It's got great other amenities. If you're into tennis, pickleball, pool, that as well. But at Wisconsin Country Club, they just launched the WCC Performance Academy. It's powered by Catalyst Golf Performance and Aridus Physical Therapy. It's the real deal. So they use TrackMan, 3D Motion, Miha EMS, everything you need to move better, feel stronger, and shoot lower scores. Join the Wisconsin Country Club. Check out the WCC Performance Academy and get started today at wisconsincountryclub.com. Just a fairway away. Makes me feel like I feel when I'm with you.
We're watching Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV right now, and there's a line in the show where he says, it's not yours if you can't keep it. The main character says that after his boss says it to him. It's a whole thing. You should watch Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV. It's not yours if you can't keep it seems to apply to this next story that we're going to talk about here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So apparently, Chew, there was a guy in Canada who won $3.6 million in the lottery. I believe this is the Canadian lottery, for clarification's sake. But he didn't have an active bank account or a valid government-issued ID. So he gave the money to his girlfriend to deposit into her bank account. Well, you know what she did?
Deuces.
She is not returning his calls. She has blocked him on social media. She has filed for a protective order against him. And now he is suing her for the money. This is wild.
Suing her sounds like theft. I would have called the cops. Right?
Well, again, well, she
Who
was
the
one.
Ticket?
Well, he bought the ticket, but again, because he didn't have a valid ID to make the claim, they had her make the claim. So, you know, again, she was the one who filed with the proper authorities up there to claim the $3.6 million.
They were in a relationship. He calls it committed and promising. And she obviously did not feel the same way because she has since moved on with another gentleman, according to this report. You know, I got to be honest with you. There's this to me, this is one of those things that comes down to what's right and what's legal. It feels to me like, Gabe, she's got the legal. She's got the law behind her because he didn't have the requisite documentation to accept the lottery winnings. She did. The mistake he made, it sounds like, was trusting her.
Yeah, you needed to get some sort of legal agreement in writing before she made the claim.
He bought the ticket.
Sure, but you could make the argument that not having the government ID and the bank account were all requisite for collecting the winnings. It's all well and good to buy the ticket, but if you win and you cannot put it into your own bank account and you can't collect it, what's the point?
What kind of relationship is this if he doesn't have a valid government ID or a bank account? Like, what did he
Jen,
use?
You said
what
you're
did he
watching...
use to buy the ticket? Like, he's just walking
Jen,
around with all the
said...
cash in the world that he has?
Jen, you said you're watching a show on Apple?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the show?
Your Friends and Neighbors. John Hamm.
Oh, see, because I'm watching a thing called Mobland, and I would go that route. I would make some calls there as opposed to Friends and Neighbors. If she walked with $3.6 million. Yeah.
She did not return to the hotel room that the two were sharing. He then went out to a few of her known spots where she would party. Sure enough, after some investigation, he found her in bed with another guy.
Hello.
I mean, I got to be honest.
Does
I feel
get
like
half?
I feel like she sent the message pretty clearly. You know, you could argue that, you know, she's not answering your calls, but I think she's sending a message.
Yeah.
A hearing for the case is scheduled for June 13th. Sounds like you're on the dude's side, huh?
No, it'll be a half and half, I'm sure, right?
I have no idea.
Can they prove that he purchased it? Is there some like
I'm assuming
oh, I'm sure there's
I'm assuming there's got to be a video
well,
of him
have
purchasing
used a,
yeah
right because he doesn't have a bank account so he doesn't have a card
yeah
unless it was like a prepaid card yeah. Maybe that's what he's dealing with
but I know in
you
the
can't
past,
even use cards for a lottery
no,
can you
no. Not all places I do not know about Canada some allow debit because it is technically taking the money they don't let you put it on credit though which is probably a good idea. What's interesting here is like a lot of times in America I know as far as that goes they'll like know exactly who won it before that person ever claims it because they can, I mean, it's all run through a computer system. They can see exactly what time the ticket was sold and then they just match up the footage, which most, if not all gas stations at this point have some sort of security footage. So like you can prove you bought it, but then it gets particularly complicated because are you even eligible to purchase it if you don't have all the things you need to claim it? Like if you don't have the ID and all that stuff, that doesn't necessarily make sense. But also, like, couldn't he have just done this before? I know you get excited. $3.6 million, I want to collect that.
Especially if
that.
You don't have a bank account. If you don't have a bank account, you can't have a lot of money, right?
So just talk to a financial advisor and a lawyer and then go claim mm-hmm. it. Would that not be the path?
I mean, it doesn't. I guess I don't know about Canada's DMV, but it doesn't take, what, you go to the DMV, you register, 2 weeks later you get the ID, and then you walk over to a bank and go, hey, I want to start an account.
You don't even need to wait. They give you a paper one that's valid.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're absolutely right.
How does it work here?
You find out you win, you figure out what you need, you go get what you need, and then you go collect your winnings.
It's not like you have 12 hours to claim this thing. They give you a couple of months.
Yeah, it's a long time. You definitely have enough time to get it done if you have the things to prove you can get an ID.
So there's another phrase, too, that comes to mind. Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
Do you think she just put this in her checking account? is that what happened here? Just $3.6 million right into your checking account? That's what it sounds like.
Again, at the end of the day...
Yeah, but it's loonies and toonies. How much is it really?
At the end of the day, just split it. Right? What are we talking? Almost $2 million each. Like, just...
You know what's better than almost question? $2 million? 3.6.
A dumb question?
Please.
Are they dollar bills or what are they? What's Canada's monetary system?
Yeah, a Canadian dollar. Yeah.
Okay, is it one for one? Do you know?
It is not.
Look that up.
Exchange rate? No.
The exchange rate is not one for one.
Let me get on that. We're during the break. We'll be right back after this.
Why doesn't everyone just have the dollar? This is ridiculous.